From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the second day of December 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, ethanol supporters have had a mixed reaction to U.S. EPA's delayed plan of action for upping the blend rate. Congress is working again with the estate tax rates, and a news report from China suggests that country is or is about to lift its month-old ban on U.S. pork imports. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then, you've likely heard some banter on the airwaves about schools and chocolate milk. I'll have details of the milk processors Raise Your Hand for Chocolate Milk campaign and a view of it from the milk producers' side of the aisle. And then, of course, as we close out this half hour, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Lernard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby December wheat, 8 cents lower at $5.54 and a half. The March following suit, down 8 at 5.76, and the May wheat at 5.88 and a half, down 8 as well. December wheat in Kansas City at $5.51, down 5 and 3 quarters. Back in Chicago from the corn pit today, December futures down 8 at $3.91 and 3 quarters. The March at 4.06 and a half, 8 cents lower. May at 4.16 and 3 quarters, down 7 and 3 quarters. July at 4.25 and a quarter, 7 and a half cents lower. And December futures at 4.38 for next year, down 6 and a half on the settlement price. December oats at 2.51 and a half, down 3 and a half cents. January soybeans today, 25 and a half cents lower at $10.34 for that lead option. The March contract at 10.41, down 25. May beans at 10.46, 23 and 3 quarters lower. July at 10.52 and a quarter, down 23 and a quarter. And November beans at $10.31 and a half cents, down 17 cents. December bean meal at 3.17.30, down 7.40. December oil at 39.75, down 83 on the afternoon. Live cattle futures at 82.10, down 45 cents. Lean hogs at 59.67 and a half, up 45 cents. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets are looking like at this hour. January crude oil futures on a settlement price at $76.60 a barrel, down $1.77. December ethanol at $2.13, that's down 2 9/10. Natural gas at $4.53 and a half, 22 7/10 cents lower. The RBOB gasoline, $1.99 and 6 cents, down 4 6/10. Heating oil or diesel fuel at 203 and 8 cents, that's down 3 9/10. And the gold futures at $1,212, up $12.90 on their settlement price today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 10,448 is just about 23 points lower on the afternoon. And the U.S. dollar for the day at 74.66 is up 0.29 for the day. The CRB index at 276.80, down 2.54 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own meteorologist Ed Kieser with a little update from Mike Sola. He says tonight, cloudy skies, windy, and turning colder in all sections of Illinois and Indiana. In western Illinois, particularly scattered snow showers, a few flurries. In eastern Illinois, showers of rain changing to snow. In northern and western Indiana, rain changing to snow after midnight. In southeastern Indiana, periods of rain. Lows will range from 24 in northwestern Illinois to 36 in the southeastern parts of Indiana. Tomorrow in the far south, partly to mostly sunny in the north, cloudy, scattered snow showers. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy, some scattered flurries. Highs tomorrow will range from 30 in northwestern Illinois to 40 in the far south. The extended forecast says cold weather will continue into the weekend. High temps Friday and Saturday will be in the upper 20s and 30s and lows in the teens and the 20s. And temps next week will likely remain cool and below average with highs most days ranging from 30s north to the 40s in the south.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
It is a Wednesday afternoon. On the line with us to take a look at what happened in the agricultural futures markets is Paul Cooley with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I haven't talked to you for, well, right at 2 weeks at this point. Give me a quick update of the region there. Anybody left shucking corn today?
Yes, there's quite a bit of corn yet to harvest, but they're making big strides. And I noticed, mainly north, there is still some soft ground, and the ground needs to dry out some. And, of course, the corn's still holding some moisture. But as a general rule, the elevators are taking a lot of corn and harvest with. We're not going to get much rain out of this one. I think a quarter to a half inch at the most. And the one on the weekend isn't too bad either. So the guys in the west, the Mississippi, are basically going to be rain-free for a while. So harvest continues. And I think that was one factor that we saw today. The hedging continues. You know, one of my favorite topics is behavioral economics, and of course, with the market almost up every day in a row, it's hard for a farmer to do much selling. And one of the things we noticed, on my early merchandising days with Tabor Grain and then ADM, we noticed that, on a rainy day after harvest, we'd buy more grain than during a sunny day, and it was mainly the case of book squaring and going to the elevator and figuring up divides.
And so are you
one reason we saw a sell-off, I think, today, along with the fact that there is this growing feeling that with these higher prices, we are encouraging a lot of production. And a lot of production, meaning in South America, we're looking at a very large soybean acreage both in Brazil and Argentina. With a little bit of rain, you could see a soybean crop in Argentina somewhere in that 20 million tons bigger. Brazil crop bigger. We get reports that there's a lot of extra bean acres going in that country. Brazil's a big economic powerhouse, and there's going to be a transition here of these $10 beans to, a major break. And, of course, it's going to be interesting to see how China plays that card game, how our soybean processors here in the U.S., our U.S. exporters, how the U.S. farmer all plays this card game in the next 3 to 6 months.
And I was going to ask you, since you were at an elevator, about basis for corn, but let's stay with soybeans. We'll come back to that in just a second. Are you wanting producers who have beans in storage, whether that's in the bin or in the elevator, to go ahead and market beans then?
Yeah, I definitely have that at the top of my list, yes.
All right. And
also,
this would not be something
new. $10 new crop beans should be on the top of their list, too, for next year. The reason is that this bigger supply of soybeans in the world, and as we say, there's every incentive in the world now with these better prices of soybeans to fertilize. Brazil, as we mentioned, is an economic powerhouse in the world. They have wonderful ethanol legislation. They're encouraging their sweeteners industry to produce. They've got corn industry, and also their soybean industry is growing very fast. They're, they have a lot of extra capital to play the capital game, and they're creating jobs, and that's what it's all about.
All right. No surprise that you want to have producers market the old crop soybeans. That's what the market has been telling them all fall long. But you're also telling them now to go ahead and market some November beans for 2010 or the new crop. How big a step would you like to take?
Well, there is this real problem, and the real problem is that we could be looking, if proper weather continues in South America, we could look at, you know, a substantial break in prices. And do I think it's possible? Yes, I do. I think it's in the realm of possibility, and even with a very weak U.S. dollar.
All right, turn your attention to the corn market. I talked a bit or asked earlier about basis. You're at the elevator there in Oakland. Has it broken very much in the last week and a half?
Well, it has some. You know, the real dilemma here, of course, is that a greater percentage of the normal of corn being marketed at the elevator because of the wet corn.
Mm-hmm.
And now, at the same time, it's let's hurry up and get it harvested to take advantage of, you know, harvestable days. The basis is historically not too bad. The moisture discounts the farmer's taking, it does seem to be fairly large. The farmer that was able to market, you know, January or early harvested corn at $4 was a real plus. I think the real factor here is that that being over aggressive, we are seeing, you know, farmers move new crop corn for fall of next year. I think it was got up to 420 area at one time. You know, there was some aggressive movement of new crop corn. I'm always reluctant in this energy price level environment that we do have to be too aggressive, but definitely the trend is to push the button, particularly when it's profitable.
And so earlier in the year, we talked about a big late wet crop being pretty bearish for the marketplace. Do you think that will come to fruition? I mean, we have come off lows that were, I don't know, 90 cents lower nearly than what we are, I guess 80 cents lower than what we are at this point in the lead option December contract. Is there any fear that with you still, that might continue to take place, that this, or has the market absorbed enough of the corn that you're not worried about that anymore?
Okay, the basic question here is the flat price of corn and where are we going and how low and how high. I guess flat price corn is some. I think let's go to the real obvious question, the next USDA crop production report.
Right.
Our sources in Iowa say the crop isn't as small as what the USDA crop indicated. And my other opinion is that I think the southern Illinois corn crop is probably better than what the government penciled it in at. There has been some yield variation in some of the better producing counties, I think, in the eastern part of the state. But I wouldn't be a bit surprised if the next USDA production report isn't bigger. But the problem is in demand, and I think the feed demand is going to be smaller. I think the ethanol demand is probably not going to grow, and I think the export demand in corn isn't going to be there because we're starting to see very strong competition out of Brazil and Argentina. They're dumping corn. Wheat prices continue to be undersold. U.S. prices undercut here, and I think that there's every reason to believe that we are going to have 3 million more acres of corn next year. So the logic is that unless we have some new energy policy that we desperately need to create jobs for corn and for ethanol, you know, I think corn is going to reach a plateau in here, that it's going to be a hard sale, a good sale anyway, if we can get the $4 corn on cash corn at some time in the January, February, March time frame.
Paul, thanks so much for joining us today.
Have a profitable day, Todd. Always nice talking to you.
Good to talk to you too, Paul. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Now here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, two major U.S. ethanol groups are putting different spins on an announcement yesterday by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency that it plans to delay until the middle of next year a decision on whether to raise the allowable ethanol blend in gasoline to 15%. Growth Energy co-chairman Wesley Clark says the announcement was positive because EPA has confirmed that E15 could be used by vehicles built in 2001 or later. But Renewable Fuels Association president and CEO Bob Dineen had a more negative view on EPA's announcement. Speaking at the Canadian Renewable Fuels Association's summit in Vancouver yesterday, Dineen said that the EPA continues to send mixed signals about what it expects from the ethanol industry. U.S. lawmakers in the House of Representatives will consider making current estate tax rates permanent this week. The House will take up a bill introduced by Democrat Earl Pomeroy on Thursday to extend the current policy of taxing estates over a $3.5 million threshold at a rate of 45%. Federal estate taxes are due to go to zero next year under current law unless Congress acts. After that, the tax will have an exemption of $1 million for individuals and a tax rate of 55%. The U.S. has asked China to follow through with a month-old promise to lift its ban on U.S. pork. A news report from Beijing said China's General Administration of Quality Supervision, Inspection, and Quarantine has said the country is ready to reallow pork imports from some areas of the U.S. and Mexico. The report did not provide specifics on what areas were approved or when exports could resume. Africa cotton producers warned yesterday that they may file a complaint at the World Trade Organization against the U.S. if a dispute over subsidies paid to U.S. cotton growers remains unresolved. West African cotton producers have been fighting for the cotton issue to be included in the long-running Doha round of world trade talks. They want industrialized countries, especially the U.S., to lower domestic subsidies that African nations say depress world cotton prices at poor countries' expense. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can hear anytime you'd like on our website. The address, of course, willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, up next, you know the nation's milk processors would like school-aged children to drink more milk. So they came up with a campaign called Raise Your Hand for Chocolate Milk. As you'll hear, it hasn't gone over so well in the press or at some schools. I'll have more on the campaign. Raise Your Hand for Chocolate Milk is a campaign aimed at school-aged children. It was developed by the Milk Processors Education Program, or MilkPEP. Roughly speaking, MilkPEP is made up of the companies that put milk into cartons. Its goal, as stated in the About MilkPEP webpage, is increasing fluid milk consumption. Currently, MilkPEP has several active campaigns. These include BodyByMilk.com, WhyMilk.com, MilkDelivers.com, and a Spanish language website. It is possible to download all sorts of interesting content about these campaigns from the MilkPEP.org website. Raise Your Hand for Chocolate Milk is listed here, too, but it's cordoned off. You must have a login to get to the campaign from the MilkPEP website. The campaign website, RaiseYourHandForMilk.com, is, on the other hand, up and running. The hullabaloo over this campaign is a difference of opinion. Those opposed to it, says Tammy Larson, school nutrition program manager for the Midwest Dairy Council, don't like the idea of pushing chocolate milk in schools. The processors, while pushing milk, in this case chocolate milk, say it's better for the kids to drink chocolate milk than not to drink milk at all. Tammy Larson knows why.
And one thing to keep in mind is that flavored milk has the same 9 essential nutrients that regular milk has, and 3 of the 5 nutrients that kids aren't getting enough of. So it's important to package nutrient-rich food however the kids will take it, because they really do need those nutrients.
The trade-off here is about 60 additional calories. The question for schools, parents, and nutritionists is whether or not the value of the 9 essential nutrients available in milk is greater than the risk of the 60 additional calories from the chocolate. A chocolate milk, by the way, as claimed by MilkPEP and its RaiseYourHandForMilk.com website, is the most popular choice in schools, and the site says kids drink less milk and get fewer nutrients, consequently, if it's taken away. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural cash grain markets. On the line with us today, Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about basis. Has it broken very much for corn in your area?
I'd say in the last week, we've seen basis probably break another nickel or so, even with most people moving to their December bid. Week to date, you know, their D's bid is probably down a nickel to 7 cents. Some of that is that space is getting full. Train, if you have to buy a train right now, you know, freight's tight, and then also we're seeing Vomitox issues with ethanol plants as far as their bid getting cheap here to discourage high-volume corn flowing into the pipeline here.
Yeah, is that corn that's coming in out of the field, or is it stuff that's already in the bins at the elevators?
I say we haven't been out of about 15% of harvest, and then we consider our draw area done. So of our receipts here, probably from the last couple of days, it's probably 50-50 as far as guys' corn bins and then guys coming straight out of the field.
Yeah, so, but where's the vomitoxin coming from? Is it from corn that's standing still?
Actually, we're seeing it from both. Probably a higher percentage of stuff that's standing, but you know, we are seeing a decent amount, I would say, of stuff that has been sitting in the bin for a couple weeks, and guys just didn't realize that they had you know, quality issues with their crop.
Is the soybean bed staying steady?
Soybeans are steady, and I'd say they're a touch higher. I'd say next week we see some beans starting to get bean processors starting to get a little more aggressive here for beans, but that's probably a week away here.
All right, Dan, your bids for the day.
Climbers corns ends at 376 and Delphi beans at 1009.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Matt Blaisdell. He's with the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. I'll be back in 2 minutes when we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Governor Pat Quinn says the state will start taking bids next month to renovate the University of Illinois' crumbling Lincoln Hall. The U of I has lobbied to rehab the 100-year-old lecture hall for more than a decade, and this year the state legislature passed a capital construction bill with $63 million earmarked for the project. But the state didn't release the project until today, and the governor acknowledges that cash for renovation is not in hand yet. But Quinn says the state expects to issue bonds in the first quarter of next year. The capital project is being funded through several routes, including expanded video gambling, and many municipal governments have opted not to allow the machines. Quinn says he's confident the state will get enough to pay for the projects anyway. Leading Illinois law enforcement officials say turning the state prison in Thompson into a detention center for Guantanamo Bay detainees can be done without any increased risk to public safety. In a letter to the Obama administration, Illinois State Police Director Jonathan Munkin and others say no detainees would be released domestically, and they say the detainees wouldn't be tried in Illinois federal courts. Officials closed the letter by saying they would never support anything that might compromise their ability to protect and serve Illinois residents, also citing the letter with the presidents of the Illinois Sheriff's Association, Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police, and Illinois Law Enforcement Alarm System. The U of I will drop an arts program based in Washington, D.C. after deciding it's far too expensive. Interim Chancellor Robert Easter decided to cut the $600,000 a year program after a committee recommended the move. The program has sent about 45 students to study at the Phillips Collection Modern Art Museum in Washington since 2006. Committee members say the university can't justify the cost per student. The university is looking for ways to cut spending. It wrestles with a tight budget. Former Chancellor Richard Herman backed the program and paid for it through a fund he controlled. Herman resigned in October. A new report shows that Indiana college graduates are leaving school with more debt than the national average and that their borrowing has gone up by about 20% in 3 years. The report issued by the California Project on Student Debt says Indiana's 2008 graduate owed an average of $23,264, slightly more than the national average of $23,200. I'm Jeff Bossert.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. On the line with us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast, Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated, out of Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, what's the weather going to be like?
Well, it's going to trend a little bit cooler for a while. We're going to have some slop out there to deal with. Most of it's going to be in the northwestern Corn Belt, actually, for a little while. We have a low-pressure system right now coming up out of the Gulf of Mexico, spreading some rain across the lower parts of the Midwest, the southeastern half of Illinois this afternoon, and a big part of Indiana and Ohio will likely see rain. And the system's moving fairly swiftly, so by tomorrow afternoon, we're probably going to see it already up into parts of Canada with a clearing trend already in parts of Illinois. So we've got, like I said, a little slop to deal with, some cloudiness and rainfall to deal with, but not a lot of precipitation potential to change the snow here. We will cool the atmosphere down as the system pulls out. There may be some wet snow that falls from the sky a little bit overnight tonight or tomorrow, but I do not expect it to accumulate significantly in any part of the lower or eastern parts of the Midwest. Now, there is an upper-level low-pressure system that's over the northern plains and the northwestern Corn Belt. Those areas will see occasional snow for the next 3 days, take a little break, and then they're going to see about 3 more days' worth of it. So the difference between the northwestern Corn Belt and the rest of us out to the southeast is that the northwestern areas will be cold all the way through the first half of next week with frozen ground, which will allow them to work their fields up there. But there will be some occasional snow that will eventually be a hindrance to field progress. For the lower parts of the Midwest and the eastern areas, we will see rather quiet weather after this big storm system gets out of the way. There will be a few snow showers across the region, mostly in the Great Lakes region, but we don't see a significant storm system coming into the heart of the Midwest until about early to midweek next week. And we'll have a fairly good chance for a snow event to take place at that point, probably Tuesday into Wednesday.
I turn your attention to South America. Tell me about Argentina and Brazil. They have a crop in the ground growing and on its way towards, well, a finish to a season. That'll be quite some way down the road here, but we'd like to know how it's off and running at this point.
Well, it certainly looks like it'll be a very good crop in both countries. We had a lot of trouble in parts of western Argentina being too dry here during the early part of the growing season, but most of that dryness has been eliminated now, and almost all of it was outside of the major soybean production areas. I think there were some areas that were impacted, but with the good weather that's occurring right now and the advertised continuation of that for the next 10 days to 2 weeks, I think Argentina will be looking at a very good crop this year, and if that can continue all the way through the summer, of course, is the big question. I do think that with El Nino out there, there's a pretty good chance they'll have a good crop. For Brazil, it's also a pretty good situation right now. Widespread rain occurring in much of the country. The south has been too wet, but it will be drying down. And the northeast has been a little too dry, and it's going to moisten up. So the bottom line is everybody's going to do fairly well over the next 2 weeks.
And just a few seconds left. Ukraine was pretty warm heading into its winter season. Did the last week do well for putting that wheat crop into dormancy or not?
Not completely. It's been unusually warm over there in the whole of the western CIS, and Ukraine in particular. There's no snow on the ground, and the temperatures have been fairly warm, so we are not hardening that crop in an adequate manner. If a big surge of cold air comes down like we have in North America, some of that crop's going to be vulnerable to a little damage if we can't get the snow to fall first.
Drew, thanks much.
Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. That's the Closing Mark Report for Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.